It starts with Brendan Bobo, who will lead off. He's 0 for 2 with a run and also a walk. So the first time the Raptors are playing from behind today. And you take it to the top of the third where they got two runs, and then they got a run in the fifth. They were up 3-0 in this game, but Madison has come storming back. Four unanswered runs, a solo home run from Goolsby in the fifth, a one-run RBI double also from Goolsby, and then getting home in the seventh is Jackson Tucker. So McCann will look in, and, well, they looks like they called a strike because Bobo took too long to get up there. And now it counts at 1-1, and Bobo swings and misses just like that, 1-2. So a violation on Bobo. And the count runs at 1-2. Ball, two strikes. Brendan Bobo, they need him right now. Swings and a miss up top. He goes down. Sure, a strikeout swinging from Bobo. And that was not on the plate for the Raptors. They did not need that. Jack Gervich, he'll step in now. So Gervich grounded out to second. He got on base off of an error and had a sac fly into center, which allowed Johnson to get home. So Chad McCann, he's up to 30 pitches and three strikeouts, has not allowed a hit yet. A great reliever for Tommy Meyer. And one down, the 0-1 to Gervich. Outside on a ball, this time on a breaking ball, 78. Comes in 1-1. 1-1 count, one down. McCann with a long stare at home. He bends at the knee. He'll come set now. Kicks high and fires as Gervich pops his out left side, but now he's hurt. His hand is hurt. Uh-oh. And looks like he might have hit that on the inside of... He's down right now. This is not what you like to see, because Jack Gervich, he's a really tough kid. He's a heck of a ball player for the Raptors and Northwoods League All-Star, rightfully so. And now his right hand is hurt. And it looks like it might be his wrist. Might have swung that bat just a little awkwardly. It came on the inside. And now, yeah, his wrist might be... It might be dislocated. It might be... Who knows? He's hurt right now. You never like to see this. You don't want to see this. Gervich, it looks like the ball might have hit his inside hand, and he swung the bat so hard. That's where the contact might have come in, and his day might be done. His wrist is really hurt. Oh, no. Oh, no. And a guy that you don't want to see happen. You just don't want to. I mean, to nobody, but to Gervich as well, who's scheduled to go to Traverse City next week. You know, compete in the Home Run Derby, compete in the All-Star Game. And now, right now, he's not feeling too good. Hopefully, we can see him make a full recovery, because he's also out of San Diego, and they need him as well. So it looks like Alex Duffy, the catcher, looks like he'll be the one to pinch hit for Gervich. And Gervich is at first, so, you know, putting Duffy at first is the right thing to do, because, you know, he's a catcher, so you'd rather have him be at first than at second, third, or short. Those are much harder to play. So Alex Duffy, number 31 for the Raptors, a great catcher. He's been really starting to swing the bat a lot better. And you definitely want to see that, especially from one of your catchers. So Duffy batting at 238. He's had 10 hits on 42 at-bats. Also 9 RBIs as well. And the 1-2 low, 4-ball, 2-2. He's coming in at a situation, though, where he doesn't get a fresh at-bat. The count runs at 2 apiece with 1 gone. Top of the 8th. A 2-2 from McCann as Duffy just hits it topside. So he didn't really have a chance to warm up as well. He was sitting on the bench, and Brian Dyer called to him and said, hey, look, we need you to pinch hit, and we need you to get in. Gervich, his day looks to be done. And that's sad to see. One gone. McCann. Kick serves the 2-2 outside for a ball. 3-2. So Alex Duffy from Bernardsville, New Jersey. And the sophomore from the Elon Phoenix. So plays his collegiate ball with the Madison Mallard, who's not in the lineup. The 3-2 swing and a miss up top. Duffy goes down. So Garrett Broussard, the right-hander, who grounded out to first. Well, grounded out to the pitcher, excuse me. Struck out swinging and also grounded out to third. He's had a rough day. He's 0-3. That all can change now. McCann works in a strike and paints the zone at 88 that time, 0-1. Two gone, no one count. And a changeup low, 1-1. And one ball, one strike. McCann steps, serves, and a curveball out of the right corner, 2-1. They need Garrett Broussard, who hit a home run last time the Raptors were here at Warner Park. He had a 2-1 shot to left field as he pops his ball back behind home plate, 2-2. So Raptors, pending Broussard gets out or they just don't get any runs this inning, they'll have one more opportunity in the ninth to try to tie this game. 2-2, and Broussard hits it off the top side of the bat, rolls into the backstop, and he's staying alive here. So Chad McCann up to 41 pitches, 16 this inning, and he's had four strikeouts. And he's gone 3 1/3. And a 2-2 home, a changeup low, 3-2. So three balls, two strikes. Here on Garrett Broussard, the San Juan Capistrano native and a returning Rafter once more, was a Northwoods League All-Star last season. He batted at 258. He's been a great infielder as he hits kind of a jam shot into, well, it pops up into the third baseman, Taylor. And he goes down, so that's the third out. Madison goes 1-2-3. We head to the bottom of the eighth, 4-3 in favor of the Mallards. We'll step aside on WFHR.
If you have sustained an injury or have joint pain, you may need Wisconsin River Orthopedics. After a thorough examination, you may be prescribed therapy. Wisconsin River Orthopedics features their own in-house therapy center, staffed by experienced occupational and physical therapy professionals. If you need surgery for your ailment from one of their four surgeons, you may need therapy afterwards. Call 715-424-1881 or go to wroinstitute.com. 715-424-1881. Relieving pain and restoring lives.
Are cows the focus at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days? If you say yes, you're incorrect. The history of the show takes us back to 1954. It's the first year in Waupaca County is hosting what's then called Farm Progress Days. The mission, already ahead of its time, highlight the latest agriculture research from the university, showcase educational opportunities, and show off new technologies. It was held outside and open to everyone. 70 years later, the goals remain, but on a larger scale. Now, try out drones and other high-tech equipment, attend a horse show, taste food grown across Wisconsin, and learn how family farms and ag-related businesses provide thousands of jobs and millions of dollars to the economy. The 2023 Farm Technology Days, July 18th through 20th, and hosted at the Badger Steam and Gas Engine Club in Baraboo. Find more information at wifarmtechdays.org. I'm Terry Barr.
Let's get back to Raptors baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Bottom of the eighth inning, Joey Fear with you here on WFHR. Madison in front 4-3. They've got four unanswered runs. And now Rafters, well, they need to stop them right now because Jack Buckmore, he's a guy, is going to step on the mound. And the senior from University of Lynchburg and Alexandria, Virginia, he's had three games appeared in with a 1-0 record. So the left-hander works in a lot of changeups and fastballs. This is a guy that I think works the fastest for the Rafters. He does not take much time between his pitches at all as he goes once again. And the 0-1 changeup again above the zone. So five innings of work, two hits and a run, and five strikeouts. He has a 1.8 ERA. And the left-hander throws outside for a ball. He appeared against Madison back on July the 4th, where he had his debut. Well, he went an inning, allowed a hit, but two strikeouts. And 2-1, and leading off Isaiah Jackson, 3-1. So Isaiah Jackson has been a key piece for Madison today as he swings up top, 3-2. So three balls, two strikes. And goes up above the zone for a ball. So Buckmore, not a good start for him. Jackson, a great base runner too. He's at first. Nick Williams, 2-for-3. He's had a big day. Flown out to center and got a base hit both times after that. Rafters have been out hit though, 9-3. Buckmore on a fastball this time at 84. So the fourth pitcher in the bullpen, Blake Barker's day is done. He won an inning, 18 pitches, and had one strikeout. The 0-1. And it goes outside of the corner and high of the zone, 1-1. Isaiah Jackson at first. Isaiah Jackson, a guy that's only, well, he hasn't had a stolen base this season, and given how fast he is out in center field, he can get to fly balls quickly. He hasn't had a stolen base. The 1-2, and a swing and a ball well hit, a high fly ball in the right field. Lordoy able to make the catch for one down. So Cal Fisher, 0-for-3, struck out twice, once looking and once swinging, and he also popped out to first. Cal Fisher headed to Florida State next season from Deerfield, Wisconsin, was a high school senior this past season. As he skies his outright side, and Duffy is now at first instead of Gurevich. No one won. So Fisher 0-for-3. And the 0-1. And bombs this up way high in the air and pops out to Broussard at short. And that's two down. So Jake Goolsby, the Rafters have not been able to stop. Struck out swinging his first time up, but then he had a solo shot into right field and then a two-run RBI single, which put this game at 3-3. Buckmore looks, works in a changeup, and out of the zone at 76, 1-0. At first stands Isaiah Jackson, two gone. And Buckmore sets and works with a changeup once more. And this time, though, it comes in inside of the zone for a strike, 1-1. So the count runs at one apiece. Buckmore, the left-hander, turns his body, fires a fastball and a swing and a liner up the middle. So Goolsby does it once more. Goolsby to first. That pushes Isaiah Jackson to second. And the inning stays alive. David Melfi was grounded out to short, flew out to right and also grounded out to second. So no hits for him on three at-bats. Runners on first and second. Two gone here, bottom of the eighth. And a swing and a miss this time. And Bachmore really likes his changeups. That time it was 75. Madison up to 10 hits in comparison to the Rafters' three. The 0-1. And low, Jensen has to play kind of goalie there to not let that ball sweep under his legs. 1-1. Runners at first and second. And Bachmore glances over to Jackson now. He'll fire the 1-1 swing and a miss. That time got him on a fastball. 84, 1-2. Ball, two strikes, two down. Bottom of the eighth, runners on first and second for Madison. Bachmore kicks, fires, and a swing and a miss low. Melfi slams the bat down in disgust. Bachmore records a strikeout, his first of the day. So we head to the top of the ninth. Can the Rafters find a way to get back in this game? They only need a run to tie it, possibly two to win it. We'll find out next here on WFHR.
You have been listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR. Brought to you by Wisconsin River Orthopedics, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Aspirus Health, Solaris, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Delta Dental of Wisconsin, S&S Distributing, El Cafe, Edward Jones Sky Manning, Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, Chris Inda Next Home Partners, and Dixon Gun Shop. Stream every game all season long at WFHR.com or through the Civic Media app.
Mid-State Technical College. You belong here. Start your classes and get your degree right here or transfer to your four-year.
Mid-State Technical College. You belong here. In person at four convenient campuses, online or a hybrid.
Mid-State Technical College. You belong here for your Career Accelerator Certificate, a quick way to get ahead in your career.
Mid-State Technical College. You belong here.
Get started at mstc.edu.
Mid-State Technical College. You belong here.
They spend their work life helping others. Police officers, firefighters, active and retired military service members, first responders, healthcare workers, and teachers. Chris Inda, realtor with Next Home Partners, helps finding their home life a little easier.
Hi, I'm Chris Inda. As a veteran myself, I know how important it is to have a place you can rest, recuperate, and call home.
Ask about the Homes for Heroes program today at 715-741-1851 or search for Chris Inda Realty on Facebook.
Let's get back to the game here on WFHR.
Top of the ninth inning we go. A 4-3 lead in favor of the Mallards, and they have a pitching change. Tyler Avery looking to get the save. He's a redshirt freshman out of College of Southern Nevada and a Las Vegas native. He's had two games appeared in with an 0-1 record, 2 2/3 innings of work, 5 hits allowed, 2 runs, and a strikeout. So he lost on the decision against Traverse City where he went 1 2/3 inning. Gave up 4 hits and 2 runs. So not a lot of experience on the mound here for the Mallards. So can the Rafters pounce on this opportunity? Gallison, Conniff, and Jensen. 7, 8, and 9 in the order. So Avery, the right-hander, on Anthony Gallison, who's 1-for-3. So here we go, top of the ninth inning. Tyler Avery stands in, the right-hander. Looking to record his first save. Sets and serves, and it's a fastball just up above the zone, 1-0. He's got a slow windup, but a quick release. All the Rafters do is they need a run. And the 1-0 just paints the zone for a strike, 1-1. Gallison with a base hit his first time up, a ball that just kind of dropped into right center. And a 1-1 driven out Back here as we lost our audio there for a second, but back as Kyle Carlson returning for the Rafters. He's down 0-2 in the count. Kana flat out to center. Avery serves in. So Carlson is back for the Rafters. If you might remember him at the start of the season, he was on a temp contract, but he's a guy that batted a 256 for the Rafters. So out of Piedmont College from Marietta, Georgia, his last appearance was back on June the 13th. And he went 0-for-1 that day. So Carlson, 10 hits on 39 at-bats with 4 runs. Avery will check in, and the 2-2 Carlson flies this out right side. So Carlson is pinch hitting for Levi Jensen. One strike away, and Avery will put this out. So while you were gone there, there was Conniff. It was a full count, and he just flew out to center. That was basically it. Avery kicks high in the 2-2. And a swing and a miss, and that will do it. Rafters can't win this game, and they drop another. Madison comes from behind. They win 4-3. Rafters were in front this game 3-0. 4 unanswered runs for Madison. They sweep the series. It's the first time Madison has beaten the Rafters at Warner Park since July 23rd, 2021. So that trend ends. And, well, a game for Wisconsin Rapids that, look, they're out hit 10-3. Their bats couldn't get going. And when their pitching fell, you know, Anthony Benetti had a good day, but when their pitching fell, Parrish couldn't pick it up, Barker couldn't pick it up, and Madison just pounced on the opportunity. That was about it. You know, 10 hits in total, but, you know, they just had opportunities to go. And, you know, you look at it, you know, fifth inning, they get a solo shot from Goolsby. Sixth inning, they get 2 runs. And then the seventh inning, they get a run again. So Rafters just drop 4 straight. They go down to 7-9 in the Great Lakes West Division. So a really just unfortunate game for Wisconsin Rapids, a game that, you know, they had the opportunity to win up 3-0, but Madison came alive since the start of the fifth inning through the entire way through. Rafters couldn't match the energy as Madison raised their intensity. So you look at that, they're just going to have to find a way to get back to themselves, and they're going to hopefully do that tomorrow as they take on Battle Creek, the Battle Jacks. So Battle Creek, they have as first pitch is at 6:35, and it's 6:35 both days. So their next two are at home against an outer division opponent who they split the series earlier back in June against. So we'll find out if this Rafters team can end their loss streak and get back to winning ways. So for everybody at Wisconsin Rapids Rafters, for the players, coaches, and staff, for everybody at the studio for making this production happen, my name is Joey Fear saying so long from Warner Park. We'll see you tomorrow back at Winterfield. Have a good night, everybody.
Just a meal or two. That's what I want in the halls of power. So for me, it comes back to the tax code. And when you talk about increasing taxes on people, you talk about who has the money. You know, Ron Johnson, the senator from Wisconsin, you know, they pay 30% of all the taxes. Yes, because they're hoarding all of the wealth. When you have, you know, 3 people who have more wealth than, you know, half the bottom half of the country, that's a problem in distribution. Jesse the Body Ventura, former governor of Minnesota, said it so perfectly. There should never be a billionaire. We should tax them out of existence. And I go back to that magical era of the 50s, where we had a top marginal tax rate of 92%. To where at the very top, that dollar over whatever the number was, I think back then it was $200,000, that dollar over $200,000 in 1953 money, which I think is about $1.6 million in today's dollars. But that dollar was taxed at 92%. And I've said before, I would love to have paid that tax rate because it meant I was making a huge amount of money. But as far as a society goes, you cannot have a handful of uber wealthy people making policy outside of this self-governance model that we have. You can't have massive corporations that decide that more for them and less for everybody else. You know, the reason the GM era worked so well is you had strong unions who demanded wage increases. You had high taxes, so the CEOs would never think of taking $20, $30, $50, $100 million. It would have never dawned on them. Because one, they'd have had to sit across from the union and justify it, because the unions would certainly want higher wages, which they should. But it was also, they were going to, it was going to get taxed away from them. This is why I keep coming back to the single issue, if I could change any of it, would be a massive tax increase on the very wealthy. And like they had back during the Eisenhower years, 100 tax brackets, to where the more you earned, the higher you paid. That's the price of admission in this society.
Smiles are powerful. They spread joy, laughter, and hope. But not everyone gets a fair chance at a smile. Every 3 minutes, a baby is born with a cleft, making it difficult to talk, hear, eat, and even breathe. In America, most children with clefts receive immediate care, but others around the world may never have access to the surgery they need to thrive. SmileTrain is changing that. As the world's largest cleft charity, our sustainable model has sponsored more than 1.5 million smiles. We offer training and financial support to local medical professionals so they can provide life-changing surgery and other essential services at no cost to families.
It's more than to see these children, to hear the difference that we make. And for me, being born with a cleft lip and palate, knowing what they went through is so life-changing for me.
Help us change the world one smile at a time. To learn more, visit smiletrain.org/learn.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's artists supporting artists, in their own words.
I'm Naheem Hines, professional football player and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. But MDA helped her get the best treatments and care, and they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan, and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at MDA.org today.
Listen to this mission. Highlight ag research from the university, showcase education, and show off new technology. Written almost 70 years ago, it's still what you'll find at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days. This year's show includes hot tech like drones, food grown across the state, and how it all impacts our economy. Sauk County is your Farm Technology Days host at the Badger Steam and Gas Engine Club in Baraboo, July 18th through 20th. Details at wifarmtechdays.org. I'm Terry Barr.
Saddle up, buckaroos. It's time to start the cattle drive with Trail Tunes, the new cowboy, western, and south of the border show on Wiscountry 105.5 WIRI. Every Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m., join me, Gene, Roy, Tex, and Rex with songs of lonesome cowboys, wicked rustlers, and sighing senoritas. From the sons of the pioneers to riders in the sky, Trail Tunes will have you wishing for those wide open spaces. Every Thursday from 7 to 8, only on Wiscountry 105.5.
Hi, I'm Mandy Roberts, financial advisor with Thrivent. I'm here to help you assess your finances and find solutions to meet your needs. Let's ensure you have a strategy for success. To get started, call 715-470-1303. That's 715-470-1303.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tonight. Otherwise, mainly cloudy skies expected. Lows around 60. Southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour.
Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 75. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Clear skies. Tomorrow night, lows around 54. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 77.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Hands as, quote, restrictions on procedures. How nice, a kinder, gentler tyranny. This is Jim Hightower saying, to keep up with today's Orwellian thought police, connect with Jessica Valenti's diligent tracking of anti-abortion trickery at jessica.substack.com.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
1-866-416-RICK. 1-866-416-7425. I'm going to take your calls the rest of the hour. I got an email from Jay. Jay says, we pay enough in taxes. I'm tired of you tax and spend liberals. Always wanting to spend my money. Socialism never works. Not talking about socialism. I'm talking about allocation of resources to best help a society move forward. I go back to, I wouldn't have called my grandparents socialists. I mean, they did fight fascism overseas, and they did come home and build the strongest, most prosperous working class in the history of civilization. And how did they do it? You know, this isn't difficult. You can look back to what happened. They came back to the shop floor. They fought for a share of the profit that their wealth created. And if you look at the graphs that are out there from the end of World War II to the middle 70s, productivity went up, wages kept pace. So the better trained work, the more productive, the meritocracy we're told is supposed to exist, the more people did, the more they got paid. As productivity increased through, you know, efficiencies, through technology, through whatever, workers benefited from that. They shared in it. Sometime around the middle 70s, productivity continued, you know, 45 degree angle, straight across, straight up. Wages deadlined. What happened? Well, an all-out assault on working class people. An assault on the social safety net. An assault on working families. That's what it was. Policies brought by conservative Democrats and conservative neoliberals. You call them what you want. The Reaganites, all of these pro-corporatists. Understand, the guy who wrote the Powell memo, Supreme Court Justice Lewis Powell, was a moderate Democrat. Wrote that you need to break up unions, wrote that you need to take over media, wrote that you need to take over education. You need to train people to believe in free enterprise. And they've done a masterful job because I've had these conversations with hundreds of people. We're a capitalist system and corporate America, they know best. And I get tagged with this tax and spend liberal, which you know, I fully accept. I am a tax and spend liberal. I want to tax the very wealthy, the people who have the money, and I want to spend it on the things that we need. Infrastructure, healthcare, education, you know, you name it. The things that we, military, the things that we as a society need and demand. You got to pay for it. As opposed to my conservative friends who are like, no, we'll spend crazy amounts of money enriching the very wealthy and, of course, doing some of the bare minimums that we have to, and we'll just slap the credit card on it. You go, but we're $32 trillion in debt. And yeah, you know how we got there? We got there because we kept telling the American people, though, that we could cut taxes on the people who have all the money and give them more and create a larger wealth class. And it was actually going to be good. It's going to be better. We were going to bring in more money. It was going to be fabulous. It was going to be utopia. It was going to be rivers of gold and honey, manna from heaven. And what do we end up with? Well, we end up with some $32 trillion in debt. Intergenerational debt brought on by making sure that corporate America and the very wealthy do well better. And this is where, you know, Jay, I'm tired of simplistic, that's socialist. Government investments, it's how the country ran in the 50s. Massive infrastructure bill. The Eisenhower years saw massive investment in infrastructure. Now, granted, we had to sell it as, you know, it's military. It's going to help us keep us safe. And maybe we can do that again. You know, housing, you know, our veterans, you know, we got to keep our veterans, you know, safe and well-heeled and all that because we might need them again. Those children, maybe they shouldn't go to bed hungry because we might need them to fight war. Maybe that's how we have to do it. Because understand, virtually every one of these programs is because of some kind of tie to the military. The first milk program, the first school milk program was put into place because, well, kids coming out of school weren't strong enough to carry the weapons. They were malnourished. So as I look at where we're heading, we have the haves and the have-nots. I go back to John Edwards in 2004 talking about the two Americas. I talk to my friends with the Patriotic Millionaires. They say the same thing. It's their greatest fear. You don't get millionaires reaching into their pockets saying, you know, we want to be taxed higher. We want all these investments. If there's not some bit of fear that heads will be on platters at some point. And this is the frustrating part of this. And look, I hate paying taxes as much as the next person. But it's the price of admission. And as I've always said, you know, if you don't like paying taxes to our country, if you do not like paying taxes for the things that we as citizens want, need, and demand, you can leave and not benefit from the infrastructure, not benefit from the environment that we have. You can go. This is the part that drives me insane. Because with smart policy, we can go back to having that prosperous working class. You know, the gas price thing always comes up. You know, I'm paying out the nose for gas. And as I started the show off today, for the first time in 2 years, wages have outpaced inflation. If we had stronger unions, walk with me on this because this is important. If we had stronger unions, if we had 25, 30% union density like we had in the 70s and 80s, and wages had, oh, I don't know, kept up. I go back to my grandfather, 1975, he got three raises because the union contract said, hey, we're not going to allow our wages to get eroded by inflation. Had you had that, I don't know. Maybe the cost at the pump wouldn't hurt as much. But what we've had is no ability to fight for better wages, hours, conditions, no ability for our wages to keep up and our standard of living to not be eroded and destroyed. Maybe this is the way forward. Maybe the way forward. Want to hear your thoughts. Let's go to the phones. Got Lewis on line one in New Jersey. Lewis from New Jersey. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing, Rick?
Hit me.
Yeah, I'm calling because, one, I want to say I totally agree with everything that you're saying tonight. And secondly, I'm also very frustrated when I hear callers who claim to be Democrats just do what you're saying we should not do, right? Which is we should not give the opponent any opening to justify their harmful policy. The Democrats are doing something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When you ask the question about what has the GOP done, the gentleman couldn't answer it because they have done nothing for the last decade and more. And I just want to say something else, too, in regards to what you were just talking about. What people don't understand is, in a way, this country has practiced socialism. You know, you can think of the New Deal as socialism light, but we can also think of the ways in which this government gives out handouts to industries. And the only thing they don't do is just take them over, but they let these industries go wild, and then we got to pay the price for it. And people need to understand what you're saying is what is going to get us out of this mess. Tax the rich. They have not paid their fair share. They need to. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Strengthen the labor movement. Because if you're not being able to meet your expenses, then that says, hey, what can we do as a working class to get more for what we're producing? You see? So I'm totally with you tonight, Rick. And that's all I wanted to say.
Appreciate it, Lewis. Appreciate the call. Good stuff. Thanks so much. No, I mean, you know, and look, I'm not going to beat up on Chad for over the comments, because look, I understand people are frustrated. I understand people are angry. And what people keep hearing, what keeps, because the right wing echo chamber is so powerful, is it's all Biden's fault. It's Bidenflation. Biden did that. We got stickers all over the place. I understand. I understand the anger. I understand the frustration. I do. The problem is what they're feeding us is nothing but outrage. It's nothing but division. They don't have a policy. They don't have a way forward. There's nothing. All we get from the Marjorie train wrecks and the Gates and the gun fetish Barbies is more outrage-tainment. More gimmick, more circus. Where's the policy? And I've been asking this. I've been doing this show 18 years now. This is you know, been my activism, my passion. I've been doing this all these years, and I keep asking the same question. What is it Republicans have done solely that has helped the working class? What policy have they dreamt up? What policy have they brought forth, debated, passed, and gotten signed into law that helps working people? Certainly nothing on minimum wage. Certainly nothing on getting people the ability to make organizing easier. Certainly not a social safety net. They've tattered and destroyed that. What policies have they moved forward other than tax cuts that never seem to trickle down? And when we do get a tax cut in the working class, what ends up happening is they find another way to get it from us. I look at Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney was the governor of Massachusetts for a number of years, and Mitt Romney never raised taxes. He'll be the first one to tell you, I never raised taxes on working people. But he did fee the you-know-what out of everyone. In fact, 500 times during his tenure, during his 8 years, 500 times they raised fees. So that hunting license that you love so much, that kept going up. Your driver's license fee, that kept going up. Your car registration, that kept going up. Permits to cut your grass, that kept going up. Everything that you got from your government kept going up. And they do that because it's a double win. It's a double win. They don't have to raise taxes. They can bring in revenue. And it makes you really angry that you're getting nickeled and dimed and fleeced at every opportunity. Look, they know what they're doing. They want you to hate our government. And they're really successful at it. You know, government can't do anything, shouldn't do anything, should be small enough we can drag in the bathtub and drown it. And then they go about showing us how bad government can be run. And then they go, look, it doesn't work. And they've got a massive infrastructure that they've invested in over 40 years to tell you, see, it doesn't work. Told you it wasn't going to work. Didn't work. I look at where we are in this moment. And if the working class of this country could unite around the simple idea that we should be doing better, that our hours that we trade for dollars are worth more, that policy should help us. You know, I go back to my high school government teacher. Government decides who gets what. The reality is the wealthy have gotten everything they want. Corporate America gets what they want. Why? They lobby heavily. They spend lots of money. The minimum wage in this country is still $7.25 an hour. What's it been, 13 years since it's last been raised? Totally eroded by inflation. And I know everyone goes, but Rick, you know, no one's paying that. Not yet. And if that's the case, if no one's paying it, raising the minimum wage should not be a problem. Should be a no-brainer. If everyone's paying $15 an hour, shouldn't that be where the no-brainer idea goes? Yeah, raise the $15 an hour. Everyone's paying it anyway. They won't do that. Never. Because again, they've told us repeatedly, and if you listen to what Republicans say, they're very honest. You got to give them credit. You just got to listen. You know, they don't believe there should be a minimum wage. If you're desperate enough and hungry enough to work for a buck an hour, 100 hours a week, no overtime, that's your right. It should be your freedom, should be your liberty. This is why they keep feeding us all this outrage. It's got to be what keeps you angry. Why aren't we angry that gas prices are higher and demanding? Now, we're going to drill. Okay, we're going to drill, baby, drill. Drill, baby, drill. Understand, the oil companies are sitting on thousands of leases. In fact, you know, like Biden, much to the chagrin of the environmentalist community, has opened up a portion of Alaska. There's going to be more drill baby drilling there. It's going to happen. And look, I'm an environmentalist. I'm telling you, we're not ever getting off of the dirty stuff. The renewables that are coming hopefully will bring down our dependence on the other stuff and make us less dependent and less, well, fleeceable, if you will. But I got questions and problems with the other side as well. Are we going to go on all EVs, and what's going to happen to the electric prices? You know what I would love to see? I'd love to see a policy that makes every home energy independent. Solar panels, geothermal, you name it. So that you plug in your car, you're off the grid, you're producing what you need. You know why that'll never happen? Because corporate America can't profit from it. But I don't hear anyone talking about those ideas. No, no. It's all about ensuring corporate profits, because we've been trained like that. Anything else, that would be socialism. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Going to take a quick break. Right back to wrap things up. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. Think tank approved corporate news and commentary? Are you tired of CEOs telling you what to think, who to hate, and who to vote for? Well, welcome to the Rick Smith Show. We don't take orders from some boardroom, and we don't do focus groups or talking points. We don't work for them, and we never will. I'm Rick Smith, and I work for you. Join us daily at thericksmithshow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1848. That was the day the Convention on Women's Rights began in Seneca Falls, New York. The organizers of this convention brought together some of the leading women's activists of the day, such as Susan B. Anthony, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, and Lucretia Mott. The meeting included numerous discussions on the role of women in society. Leaders presented a declaration of sentiments. It included a list of oppressions faced by women of the day. Several had to do with work and economic issues. For example, it noted that men monopolized nearly all the profitable employments, while women could earn only a scanty remuneration. It also declared, "He closes against her all the avenues of wealth and distinction, which he considers most honorable to himself. As a teacher of theology, medicine, or law, she is not known." Despite these limitations, many women, poor women in particular, were forced by economic necessity to work. By 1840, 8,000 women and girls as young as 13 worked in the New England textile mills. Women almost always earned far less than men. Female textile mill workers in Massachusetts had formed the first union of working women in the United States, the Lowell Female Labor Reform Association. Of course, the Seneca Falls Women's Rights Convention provoked scorn and outrage from many, especially men. A local newspaper wrote, "This bolt is the most shocking and unnatural incident ever recorded in the history of humanity. If our ladies will insist on voting and legislating, where, gentlemen, will be our dinners and our elbows? Where our domestic firesides and the holes in our stockings?" Even today, women still earn less than men. For every dollar men earn, women only earn 78 cents. Labor History in 2 brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. Website, TheRickSmithShow.com. I want to go through a couple of things that I think the Biden administration doing well. It's things that don't get any attention whatsoever, but it's our tax dollars at work. It's what's helping working people. And again, this is the stuff that it doesn't make the news. It's not sexy. It's not something that people run campaigns on. But the reality is, OSHA has reissued some record-keeping rules to ensure that, workers that are seriously injured, maybe we start looking into. If you remember during the Obama years, they had issued an improvement to the record-keeping rule requiring large establishments to send OSHA information about every serious worker injury. Trump did away with all that. Now, when they say, these are places of 100 or more employees, that's coming back because we should have the kind of data to make sure that workplaces are safer. Also, MSHA, the Mine Safety and Health Administration, has also proposed a standard to protect miners from deadly silica dust. You may remember during the Trump years, one of the first executive orders that Trump railed out was, deregulating, some of that dust stuff, the silica, the barium, this, some of that stuff that, a little won't hurt you. This is coming back. And I think that's a good thing. There is also a proposal to act on protecting workers from heat and smoke. Over the last couple of weeks, here where I live, Canada's killing us. The air quality, not great. The heat in places like Texas, not good and going to get worse. We need to get ahead of policy to protect working people on the job. Now, understand, as a union guy, this is stuff that you will sit down and you will negotiate over. And we're seeing this in the UPS contract. The fact that they don't have air conditioning in the truck, one of the things that they fought for and have tentatively won, that's a big deal. The fact that they're talking about temperature and ensuring that, their members, those Teamster members, don't die on the job or pass out, kind of an important thing. Maybe having a law, also not a bad idea. This is one of those things where I've not talked about on the show often, but I've always wondered about. Evidently, OSHA is also looking at somehow to protect women who are real estate agents. I mean, you think about it. These women go into these houses with who knows who, alone most of the time, and vulnerable. They're saying, look, the fact that these are independent contractors means they don't have protection under Title VII or OSHA. There's something has to be done. This is a start to move in a good direction. At least that's my thought. Also, OSHA has announced a program to protect warehouse workers. There are somewhat 2 million people who work in warehouses now. And, you look at Amazon and the fact that they're at the top of all of the negatives for injury rates and ergonomic stuff. There should be some laws in place to protect people. Now, again, this is where me as a union guy have always said in the past, this is why we have unions. Wages, hours, conditions. Sadly, we're in a moment where 6.6% of the private sector workforce is unionized, and our laws are so badly broken that it's really hard for people to organize, especially when you're looking at these big behemoths like Amazon. Staten Island, the Amazon facility there. When was that election? What, 2 years ago now? Longer? I don't even remember how long ago it was. They still don't have a contract because, our laws are that badly broken. Whereas you know, in any functional system, those folks would have a contract. They would have the ability to negotiate over the conditions of that warehouse and make things better. They don't now. So this is why they're saying that OSHA should do something. They've launched a national emphasis program, and it's going to look at warehouse workers and...
Put a frog in a pot of boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in a pot of cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As a metaphor for us and all that we go through as veterans, it's a story that rings true. We learn to endure the heat in silence. We apply what we learn to life, the bills, the job, the family, things we're expected to handle with ease. When life heats up around us, we just try to stay afloat. We let the water boil. Reaching out isn't easy, but you've never been interested in easy. You join because you are not afraid of hard work. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait until the water boils. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.